You know, as we come together on this weekend, this is our birthday celebration. This is a chance to celebrate the freedom that we have as the United States of America. Thank you for that rousing support. I have to wonder how the founding fathers would view what's gone on in the last 6 months. The heavy-handed, despotic actions that our government has taken. I don't know how many of you noticed some of the news that's been out the last couple of days. In California, to sing the songs that we've sung this morning is illegal. By the edict of the state, you may not sing in church. I know what would happen if I was there. There comes a time when you have to stand for your freedoms. There comes a time where, despite what the government says, you have to take that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego mandate that says, you make whatever rules you want, but I'm going to follow God. And if you throw me in the fire, just know this, I will follow God. We have to take the stand that Daniel did, where he said, you know, I know what the rules say, but I know that I'm going to pray. Amen. And I'm going to pray like I've always prayed. And just in case you weren't noticing, let me throw the windows open so you can see and hear. Amen? You know, when our governors make statements like, well, forget about the Bill of Rights. We need to just shred that thing. That wasn't our governor, but he might as well have. I believe that our founders would rise today in the same way that they did in their day and throw off the chains of despotism and say, no, we will not conform. We came here for religious freedom. We will worship whichever way we deem appropriate by the conscience that God gave us. We serve God first and the state second.
Amen. Hallelujah. Right.
Say, well, there we go. Pastor's going to get political. Well, sometimes you do. I mean, I don't make a habit of it, and I'm not going to. But today of all days, it might be appropriate. Imagine if you had lived in 1776. What things might you have heard from the pulpit then? You know, there were pastors back then who were saying, look, the Bible says we have to be subject to those who are in authority over us. And there were other pastors who rose up and said, greater authority exists than the king.
Amen.
Let me just share a few excerpts from past sermons. Reverend Jacob Duché, in Christ Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the presence of the founders who were meeting for the Continental Congress, preached this. Stand fast by an undaunted courage and magnanimity. And here give me leave to remind you that there is a kind of courage which seems to be merely animal or constitutional. This may stand a soldier in good stead, perhaps for a few moments amid the heat of battle, when his blood and spirits were set on fire by the warlike sounds of drums and trumpets. But I would have you possess of more than this. Even a courage that will prove you to be good Christians as well as good soldiers. A firm, invincible fortitude of soul founded upon religion and faith and the glorious hope of a better world. A courage that will enable you not only to withstand the armed phalanx, to pierce the squadron, or to force an entrenchment when the cause of virtue and your country calls you to such service, but will support you likewise when the principalities and powers of darkness will stand by you under to assaults of pain and sickness and give you firmness and consolation amid the horrors of a deathbed scene. That was preached to the founders in Christ Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, who were facing the revolution. Faith is the victory. Another one. And what is now our duty? Must we now sit still and maintain peace with the butchers of our friends? Shall we maintain it at the expense of property, liberty, and life, and all that is dear? God forbid. If ever there was a call in Providence to take the sword, and there now is, therefore, to arms, lest the curse fall upon us, which fell upon the dastardly inhabitants of Meroz. Look at Judges chapter 5, and you'll see what he's talking about there. Curse ye, Meroz, says the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. We trust that all whose circumstances will allow it will go, that none such will refuse to enlist in the defense of his country. When God, in his providence, calls us to take the sword, if any refuse to obey, know that heaven's dread artillery will be leveled against him, as you may see clearly in Jeremiah 48:10. Cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from the blood. Cursed is that sneaking coward who neglects the sinking state when called to its defense. Reverend William Stearns preached in Marlborough, Massachusetts on the 11th of May, 1775. Strong words. Strong words. The future of the nation was at risk. Today, the future of our nation is at risk. God is not calling us to the sword. He's not calling us to take up arms yet. Will that happen? I don't know. But I'm tell you this, that there were pastors who spoke in that day and made very clear that one of the reasons why the colonies were facing the trials that they were was because they had abandoned the God who gave them freedom in the first place. They had exchanged the freedom of faith for the luxury of prosperity. And they were called to repentance, and they were called to prayer, and they did not respond. And as a result, they ended up with a war that cost lives. That cost lives unnecessarily. Surely God could have turned the whole thing without the shedding of blood. He could have. Today, as I look around and I see the things that are going on, I know that the day is coming where it won't matter what we say. It won't matter what we do. We can literally take up arms. But the fact of the matter is, the day is coming when all men will hate the church. But it's not here yet. We still walk in a level of favor that you may not even realize. In our state, the governor has been heavy-handed, yes. But do you realize he had sense enough to exempt churches? He did. We have favor. It may not have gone as he expected. He thought everybody would just comply and be happy and be wonderful, and he would be able to do whatever he wanted to do. Well, let me tell you something. There are two things I will not give up on. I will not relinquish the freedom of religion that we were given by our God. And I will not fail to pray that our governor has a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ. I pray, even now, that our former president has that same experience. Our God is willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. As the church, it's our obligation not just to preach the gospel, but to demonstrate it. Are we willing to do what it takes? Are we willing to reach out and make a difference? Are we willing to pray? Nehemiah 4:14 was the text that Reverend David Jones preached from at the Great Valley Baptist Church on July 20th, 1775. It says, "And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses." The book of Nehemiah presents the dilemma of truly standing in faith and at the same time having to carry the sword. You remember they built the wall. And outside, their enemies were constantly attacking. And he said, here's how we're going to do it. You're going to build with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. While one of you is working, the other one's got his sword watching his back. The enemy will not find a way into our city while we rebuild what God gave us. It's our job to use the Word of God, which is a flaming two-edged sword coming from our mouth, to defend what God has given us. By our mouth first. We declare and decree what God has spoken over this nation. God is the one who said there are two nations that are of specific fondness and importance to Him. The nation of Israel, because He chose it. And the United States of America, because we chose Him. I don't want my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren to experience the oppression that steals their liberties and causes them to be enslaved. But the only way that that can happen is if we as Christians do what God called us to do. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Amen? Reverend Jones went on to say, we have no choice left to us but to submit to absolute slavery and despotism, or as free men, to stand in our defense and endeavor a noble resistance. Matters are at last brought to this deplorable extremity. Every reasonable method of reconciliation has been tried in vain. Oh, remember that if you submit to arbitrary measures, you will entail your sons to despotic power. Your sons and daughters must be strangers to the comforts of liberty. They will be considered like beasts of burden, only made for their master's use. If the groans and cries of posterity and oppression can be any argument, come now, my noble countrymen, fight for your sons and your daughters. Yeah. 52 of the 55 signers of the Declaration of Independence were practicing Christians. They believed that our freedom was founded upon the truth of moral character rooted in a relationship with God. Listen to some of the things that they say. George Washington said, "It is impossible to govern the world without God and the Bible. Of all dispositions and habits that lead to political prosperity, our religion and morality are indispensable supporters." Amen. Benjamin Franklin, he was supposedly not a Christian. Listen to what he says. "Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become more corrupt and vicious, they are more in need of masters." He understood. As a matter of fact, when the Continental Congress got to the place where they were just about to the plate of fist fights, it was Benjamin Franklin who stood up and said, "It was Providence that brought us to this time. It is to Providence we should turn. Shall we not stop and pray until God gives us an answer?" Doesn't sound like somebody who's not a believer to me. writing to his son, he said, "You will hear stories of who I was. Know that I am changed." Patrick Henry, we know about Patrick Henry, the great man of "Give me liberty or give me death." He was the first governor of Virginia. Virginia probably is praying that they had him back. He gave his "Give me liberty or give me death" speech in 1775. But in 1776 he wrote, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was not founded by religionists, but by Christians." Will Penn, Will Penn, his son, was given the task of writing for the state of Pennsylvania all of the different guidelines and policies and procedures with which we would operate as a commonwealth. This is what he required. All treasurers, judges, and all elected officials must profess faith in Jesus Christ. Our governor is thereby disqualified, and therefore let's move to the next one. Then he better get in line. This is the freedom our nation was founded on. This is the freedom that we are to be celebrating. It's not about picnics and fireworks. It's about the fact that God, in His wisdom, established this nation like no other. He gave us freedoms that we could then demonstrate to the world around us what freedom was truly all about, and called us to be those who not only fought for our own freedom, but for the freedom of others. When asked about this holiday that we celebrate, the 4th of July, this was the response. "Although it is not a religious holiday like Christmas or Easter, for many Americans, July 4th is the time to reflect on God's goodness to us as a nation. Molded into the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, which proclaimed our independence, are these words from the Bible: proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof." Leviticus 25:10. Our legal system is a reflection of that heritage. It was Billy Graham who said, "While we look with gratitude to the past on this July 4th, we must also look in faith to the future and commit it and our lives to God and to His will." The ancient words of the psalmist are still true: "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." The Passion Translation in John chapter 8, verses 34 through 36 says this: "I speak eternal truth," Jesus said. "When you sin, you are not free. You've become a slave in bondage to your sin. And slaves have no permanent standing in a family like a son does. For a son is part of the family forever. So if the son sets you free from sin, then you become a true son and unquestionably free." King James says, "He whom the son sets free is free indeed." As we've watched over the last several months, the spirit of fear has been unleashed. It has washed over person after person after person. They are terrified over nothing. Over nothing. The fear is totally unfounded. Say, "Well, yeah, but this disease," every disease has risk. Every virus has a chance to spread, and they do all of the time. And the coronavirus is not new. Discovered in 1963, it's been around a long time. Do you think that maybe, just maybe, you've encountered it at least once? Larry, as many times as you've been in the hospital, you've encountered it several. Because it has several different forms. The MRSA virus is a coronavirus. Gee, how did that happen? I don't want to get on a soapbox because it would be very easy to do, but let me just say this. You can't trust anybody but God to tell you the truth. Smith Wigglesworth, how many of you would like to someday reach the level that Smith Wigglesworth did? How many of you don't know who Smith Wigglesworth is? Okay, just don't feel bad. But I encourage you to go read what the man preached. You can't read what he wrote because the man couldn't write. No, he couldn't. He couldn't. No, all of the books are transcriptions of his sermons. He could not. Lester Sumrall showed up at his front door for a visit, and tucked under his arm was the newspaper because he had been at the train station and reading the newspaper. And he got to the front door, and Smith Wigglesworth opened the door, and he said, "Don't bring that thing in here." He said, "That's nothing but lies, and I'll not have it in my house." So he would not have subscribed to CNN. He would not have subscribed to MSNBC. He would not have subscribed to Fox News or any other news service, because the fact of the matter is, you can't trust them to tell you the truth. They're not motivated by the truth. They're motivated by something else. Some of them by political affiliation. Some of them by their own agenda. Some of them simply by the bottom line. But the fact of the matter is, God never lies. God never lies. He always speaks the truth. And because of that, we can trust what He says. When you don't know what's going on, I'll tell you what, spend some time in your prayer closet. The Bible says the secrets of the Lord are with those who fear Him. If we spend that time in worship, He'll tell us the secrets that are withheld from the world. When we see Him as He is, the Bible says we'll be like Him. And God is free. The sad part is, the majority of the people outside these four walls are not. Who will tell them how to find real freedom if we do not? Our job is to go and do. We're to go and tell them what Jesus told us. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We're to go and to preach. Now, when I say preach, don't panic. Just share your story. Just tell what Jesus has done for you. I am free. Starla and I were talking yesterday about masks and coronavirus, and I was so happy to hear her say the same thing that I've been saying. I'm immune. I don't need it. Why am I immune? Because the Bible says this cannot come nigh my dwelling. Come on. He is my health and my healing. As we look at the things that go on around us, again, we can't help but see that there is stuff going on. What are we going to do about it? Well, we are going to pray. I don't know about you, but I've been praying. We are going to rise in holy resistance. If that means that we take a stand together, you know, one of the things that you find out about government in particular is if we as a body stand in unified resistance against their dictates, they will change their dictates. Amen. Amen. And if it comes to the place of armed resistance, I trust him to give us fair warning. Say, will it come to that? Not if we pray, right? Not if we as the church do what we're supposed to do. I would much rather see revival than revolution. Amen? The Bible is clear that in the last days there will be an outpouring greater than any outpouring that has ever happened in the history of the world. I'm ready. Now I'm ready. Why not here? Why not now? Why not us? Amen? Let's believe together, not only for that outpouring, but for God's very best. He created us with purpose. This is our time. This generation must rise in service to our King and change our world. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it challenges us, that it stretches us, that it calls us to walk as free people and to carry that freedom to others. Use us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You got the word? Go do it.